Is the United States preparing to go to war against Venezuela and possibly even Colombia as well? I mean, I can't believe I'm even asking this question, but given the evidence and the statements that are being made by senior American officials all the way up to the president and the movement of military equipment and forces in the region, it is a question that must be asked. And unfortunately, the answer is starting to look like, yeah, it kind of is. And if you need any more proof on this or any more encouragement that this is a legitimate possibility, even though this is, golly, it's coming out of literally nowhere. And there's, I'll just tell you categorically before we even get into that, there is no compelling reason to do this. There is no national defense issue facing America. There is nothing that a military engagement could rectify or improve for the United States, and definitely not something that is a last resort. And this is the only thing that's going to keep us safe, et cetera. Nothing of the kind of that. So bear that in mind when you watch this statement yesterday from Lindsey Graham after he talked to the president of the United States.
President Trump told me yesterday that he plans to brief members of Congress when he gets back from Asia about future potential military operations against Venezuela and Colombia. So there will be a congressional briefing about a potential expanding from the sea to the land. Yeah. Was it illegal for Bush to take Ortega out in Panama? Was it illegal for Reagan to go into Grenada to stop Cuban influence building this big long runway? There's plenty of precedent here to do what he's doing, but the game has changed.
So according to Lindsey Graham there, you see, even U.S. warships in Trinidad and Tobago. That's not American territory, by the way. So that, I think that those are actually governed or at least partially ruled by Great Britain. So that tells you something that what you need to know about that, how expansive this is and who else is involved with it in one degree or another. But you heard Lindsey Graham there say, yeah, there's going to be a briefing on this. And he specifically mentioned both Venezuela and Colombia. And he says, yeah, there's going to be a briefing on this. And then in answer to one of the questions from the reporter, the anchor there, well, but, you know, where's the justification? And then he, with incredulousness, says, well, what he asked this rhetorically also, was there any problem when President Bush went into Panama in 1989? Was there any issue when President Reagan went into in Operation Urgent Fury in 1983? And let's you know what, let's don't treat those as a rhetorical question. Let's treat them as an actual question. And just as a brief setup here, the U.S. Constitution is still, at least on paper, a governing document. It is something that used to be held up as almost a sacred text. In fact, I lost count of the times I would see people go into hearings and wave their little booklet around. You know, that this is the U.S. Constitution. You know, this is supposed to govern what we do, and too few people have read it, et cetera. Maybe the ones who are waving that around might want to read it first. Because let's just look at what the Constitution says specifically about the use of force. And we're also going to talk about the 1973 War Powers Act, because he referred to it obliquely in one of those comments there. The U.S. Constitution, Article 1, says that the powers to make war and to have lethal military operations against another country lies exclusively in the congressional domain, period. Full stop, no ambiguity whatsoever. Not the White House, not the administrative branch, the executive branch, not that branch at all. Expressly, in fact, they specifically designed it not to be that way, because they recognized in their time that when monarchs had the power to decide on their own, the one individual, when they would go to war, too many wars got started as a result of that. Because if you put it in the hands of one person, you basically put the military as their personal plaything, and human beings being what they are, if you put that kind of power in the hands of a man with unchecked ability, they will use it. And then you'll get your country dragged into war. You'll get your men killed in combat that should never have been faced. But because of the whims and the desires of one man, they said, No longer. Not in our country. We're not going to do that. That's what the framers of our country said. Oh, hell no. We're not going to repeat this same nonsense that we've seen all throughout the world at that time. So they will take that power out of the executive branch and put it in the executive branch, knowing by design, not a flaw, but a feature, that it would be hard for a bunch of people to all agree that there is a need to use lethal military power. That's what we designed it to do. So that's why it's in the Constitution, and it's supposed to make it difficult so that you don't have one guy taking and causing people in your own country to be killed in a war, or going and killing somebody in somebody else's because it's just you have a whim that day. Who knows what it is? They didn't want that, so they wrote it in there. Because of abuses that had happened in the presidency throughout the decades of time since that was passed, and over a century, then in 1973, and especially because of abuses by the chief executive, the president at the time, Richard Nixon, they said, we're going to make it even more clear. We're going to delineate it even sharper. It's called the 1973 War Powers Act. Says that the president of the United States cannot take armed forces into an environment to where there's going to be a lethal clash into fighting another country unless there has been a declaration of war. So they reiterated what was in the Constitution. Our country has been attacked, or our armed forces. So they wanted to add that one clarification. So, yeah, you don't actually have to wait to convene Congress if you needed to react quickly. Or number three, that there has been prior congressional authorization. Period. That's it. Three things. Nothing else. So it just clarified what was in the Constitution. It didn't add anything, except for the only one slight modification was to make it clear that, but if we're attacked, especially with technology as we're evolving today, sometimes you need to react quickly. So if you're attacked, you can do something. That's it. And then, even then, there is requirements to come immediately back to Congress within a specified time frame to get authorization to carry it any further. So that's the laws, right? That's the Constitution, the 1973 War Powers Act. That's what on paper governs our country today. But since Lindsey Graham brought it up, let's take a look at those. So he says, was there a problem in 1989 with George Bush going into Manuel Noriega and taking him out, Operation Just Cause? Well, as it turns out, yeah, there was problems with it. And the same thing, nearly the same thing with Reagan's Operation Urgent Fury in 1983, when he went into another country in that period. In both cases, there were at the time a lot of complaints, both domestically and internationally, that quantified and clarified that, by the way, there was no United Nations Security Council resolution. So in international law, it violated because there was no global authorization. That's why we had the UN. That's why we had the UN Security Council that was ordained following World War II. That's why all the great powers were a part of it. The five great powers that were a part of the winning side. They all said, hey, we don't want this whole issue where people can just go to war and whatever, and there's no kind of international body. We want to have one. And so jointly, together, they're going to provide the reputation, the credibility necessary to say, no, unless the powers of the world agree that something needs to be solved with military power, we're not going to authorize it. And if you're not authorized, you can't go to war. So that's what we had. So the UNSC has to do it. As bad as the war was in the 2003 Iraq war, it had UNSC authority. It was bad. It was flawed. That also had a congressional thing. They gave prior congressional authorization to use force. It was a huge disaster, but they followed on. So you can't say that that was illegal. Now, you can say it was unethical because the intelligence was wrong and the UN, the Security Council, was lied to. Famously by the Secretary of State, and of course George Bush himself, and his Vice President Dick Cheney, just ad nauseum lied to everybody about weapons of mass destruction, etc. So you can go down that path, but at least they followed the issues about what was legal. George Bush didn't. Ronald Reagan didn't. So both of them invaded Grenada and Panama, and they said, you know what, we want to. Then they had their own reasons why. But they did not get prior congressional approval. They did not get UNSC authorization. They just went in there. So now they're small scale. They're small little operations. And of course, they just, you know, covered it over with all kinds of paper justifications that they thought, okay, whatever, fair enough, as far as it goes, that's your desire. But if you're going to be a country governed by the rule of law, and if it's not going to be the rule of the jungle, it doesn't matter what you think if you can't convince other countries, or if you can't convince the political entity inside our country as designed by the U.S. Constitution. If you can't convince them, then you don't get to use force. You can have a strong opinion all day long, but if you can't convince enough other people that there is a legitimate danger that requires lethal military operations to go kill people and likely lose some of your people in the process, if you can't convince them ahead of time, then you can't do it. Or at least that's the way it's designed. But as Lindsey Graham continued on in a separate interview, he says, yeah, we don't really pay attention to that anymore.
Congress is the only entity to put us in a state of war. But since the War Powers Act of 1973, commander-in-chiefs have used military actions 130 times without any congressional input.
Yeah, there's your precedent right there. Let me translate that into English. Understand what's going on here, folks. If you are an adamant, diehard, MAGA supporter, if you are the opposite, if you're a liberal Democrat that, you know, can't stand to even the side of the President Trump or everybody in between, if we want to have a country that's governed by the rule of law, then it doesn't matter what your opinion is. It only matters what the rule of law is. Now then, as he did, Lindsey Graham correctly identify, I haven't seen that whole list, but the ones that I know of myself, there's tons of them across the board, which means that presidents, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't make any difference, Republican, Democrat, Senate, House, and no one has cared. When the president of either party has taken military action, the uniparty, you hear Doug talk about this a lot, Doug McGregor, just go along with it. So, I mean, that's the case here. All these boats that have been, they've been blown up, that violates both international law and American law. Law allows you to, in certain conditions, to interdict shipping in international waters. And then you can put them on trial. You can inspect the boats to find out, did it really have this information on it or not? Did it have these drugs or whatever you're claiming it did? And then you put the people on trial, et cetera. And then they get their day in court. That's what rule of law looks like. But to say, nah, it's just easier to kill them, which President Trump has said when asked that a couple of weeks ago, he said, well, it hasn't worked. That doesn't work. So we'll just kill them. It's easier. You know, it's a lot less messy. You don't have to worry about vectoring boats and chasing them down and, you know, corralling them and then process them. You don't have to do all that stuff. So that's hard. So a lot easier to just kill them. And certainly it is. It is easier. But does it solve any problem? Does it take whatever is alleged to be a threat and minimize it? The answer is no. I won't let them fill in that blank because they'll lie and say that it does. It doesn't. I can tell you categorically, it does not help. It makes it worse. It makes it very, very difficult for us. And in fact, it actually compounds and undermines what we're trying to do because it doesn't solve that problem. And like every group or organization or country on the planet, when you start killing somebody, and especially somebody that has power like the drug cartels that you're alleging, they're going to hit back, folks. This stuff, too many people think, and like the Lindsey Grahams think, everything is cost-free. Like that we're the big bully and that we can just squash people like bugs and that the bugs are going to stay squashed and the bugs are just going to cower and go under the floorboards. That's all they're going to do. Only that's not the way it works in the cartel business. If you've been paying any attention at all for decades, ask the governments who have taken on the cartels in our hemisphere elsewhere, South America and elsewhere, how's it gone for them when they go after the cartels and they start killing them? There's always blowback. There's always results that come back. Corruption rises. Bribes are happening. And then those that don't take the bribes or the corruption, they themselves get killed. They go after their family members sometimes. It gets really violent and ugly. And just to think that, well, yeah, but we're the United States. We're not Mexico. We're not Colombia. They wouldn't do that to us. That is a bad gamble to be making. We'll see how that's going to work out over time. But then even on the fundamental of it, this is not – Venezuela is like one of the lower ranking members of these cartels or so. There's something else going on here. And I've continued to look, and I've queried a lot of people who have some access and some opinions. And unfortunately, the opinions are kind of all over the map. I'm going to continue to start to examine this, and I'll let you know when I do it, find out a little bit something that's more plausible. I haven't seen it yet, but what we're being told that this is about drugs, it's a lie. I'll just categorically say that because the evidence doesn't make sense. You're not going to say, oh, we have a problem with drugs in our country and all these people are being killed every day, which they cite. And then you go after the guy who's number 20 on the list. What sense does that make? It doesn't make any sense at all. We're not even talking about three or four. We're talking 20, number 20 on the list. They're way down on the lower list here. And Colombia is a little higher on the list, but they're still relatively low too. And they're in the crosshairs now as well. Apparently you heard Lindsey Graham say that a second ago. So whatever is really going on here, I don't know. But I can tell you it has nothing to do with keeping us safe from drugs because this won't get it done. And it just shreds the rule of law. And Lindsey Graham mentioned on that first clip there that he's going to get a briefing from Trump when he gets back from Asia, the Congress is. Well, we don't have to wonder too much what he's going to say because President Trump has been pretty clear about where he stands.
I don't think we're going to necessarily ask for a declaration of war. I think we're just going to kill people that are bringing drugs into our country. Okay? We're going to kill them.
We're just going to kill them because it's easy. Yeah, and it's seductive. You remember when President Obama was in office and a lot of hubbub came up when the New York Times revealed that he had a kill list and that he was something, I may be getting the exact details wrong, but something to the effect of, well, I didn't realize how easy it was to kill people, just write their name on a list and then all of a sudden they go away, et cetera. And at the time, a lot of people had an issue with that. And a lot of people said, oh, this is a terrible thing. What a terrible human being and all this. That was something that was reported that was behind the scenes. Now then you see Trump put the camera right on me, turn the microphone on. This is not behind the scenes. This is just straight up. Yeah. In fact, they're bragging about it by showing all these videos of all these different, I think there's up to 43 people we've killed so far in all these boats that we claim are drug boats and have to do with the drugs. But these boats that have been hit, I think to even include that submarine, but definitely all of the boats, none of them had the range to get to the United States from where they were blown up. None of them. So wherever else they were going, you just have to trust me. They were going to go somewhere, offload, and then they were going to come to America. You don't have any idea where they were going to go, and neither do they. They could have been going anywhere across the Europe. They could have been going elsewhere in the region. They may have been going to be come onward for the United States. Who knows? They don't. And yet we're killing people and claiming it has some positive effect. And now that we're talking about actually taking out the government of Maduro. So this is about regime change. And I'm still searching for the reasons why. There's many theories out there, but this has nothing to do with keeping us safe. That's what you need to understand here. We are blowing off the U.S. Constitution, blowing off international law, blowing off our own War Powers Act, and we are shredding and destroying any kind of pretense that we have to try and hold anyone else in the world accountable to go be following the rule of law. That is too much lost in this. It's not even part of the conversation, and it needs to be right here. It needs to be right central in it. Are we going to be a country governed by the rule of law that we can try and hold others accountable for doing the right thing? The answer right now is no. Not a rhetorical question. It's what should be the right answer. But unfortunately, there is an answer, and it's no. We are not a country governed by the rule of law. And by the words of our senior officials and the president of the United States himself, we're just going to kill people because it's easier that way. Whatever our real reasons are, I'm just going to lie to you. I'm going to lie to the American people and claim that it's about keeping you safe. It's not. I hope you understand you're being lied to. And whatever their actual interest is, whatever is actually driving them, we'll find out. As soon as I find out, I'll let you know. It may manifest one of these days, but we'll know at some point. But the answer won't be to keep you safe. It's I'm going to lie to you so that you believe what I'm saying, so that you won't cause me any problems. You won't push back. I'm talking about his supporters. You know, his political opponents are going to be against it because Trump is for it no matter what. But he needs the support of his side. So he's going to keep on pretending like, no, this is for your benefit. And meanwhile, right out in front of everyone, he's going to shred the rule of law further. So the Constitution is a dead letter. Understand this, folks. Listen to me carefully on this one. He's violating the Constitution there now. He's violating the rule of law on these issues right now. Maybe issues that you don't care about. Maybe issues you even, maybe you don't like Venezuela. Maybe you actually don't like and you hate Maduro and you want him taken out. That's fine. It's really not fine because that's just really setting up the rule of the jungle. And that we don't want that one day applied back to us when the conditions change. And I assure you, in human history, there's things wax and wane. And somebody who's on top today will not be on top tomorrow. And somebody else will. And they will remember these kinds of things. So even out of self-preservation, we need to not do this. But it's even worse than that for you folks. Because right now, the rule of law that he's violating are something that maybe you are either ambivalent about or supportive of. But there will come a time when later on he's going to violate different laws, laws that you do care about, laws that actually negatively affect you. And then I promise you, you will not be okay with it. But folks, by the time it rolls around there, it's going to be too late. Because these are the times to hold the administrative, then the government accountable to follow the rule of law that we have set, that we claim and parade around at 4th of July all the time and talk about how I'm tired of these governments that don't follow the Constitution. And then we ourselves and our side, even those who have called themselves conservatives, are some of the biggest violators of it. There is a negative outcome to this, folks. It's not neutral. It's not minor. This could unseat everything because the more you set the standard, and Lindsey Graham just laid it out there. It's been going on 130 plus times. So the law no longer matters. And you see, when people get away with stuff like that and then do it so brazenly in front of the camera, they're not going to stop there, folks. They're not going to stop there. More people are going to die. More laws are going to be violated in one of these days. It's going to be me. Or it's going to be you that are on the negative side of that. And it is going to be a terrifying day when the rule of law is just shred. And then now then no one even pretends about it. And now it is nothing but the law of the jungle and the law of power. And whoever has the power to compel compliance is the law. That's what we're facing. That's what we're heading towards, folks. And we're down that road already. We're way down that road. And we better check this now while we still get a chance, or we may not get a chance later on. That's kind of a sober message for you today, folks, but that's the truth because we are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth no matter what it is. And this is an unpleasant one, but it's one you need to hear and one we all need to take action to stop right now. Even if you're a big Trump supporter, we need to get this back under control today while we still can. Thanks very much, folks, and I'll see you on the next episode of Daniel Davis Deep Dive.